How do we build our dreams when we don't know what we want? Learn how Flaunt solves this problem in 5 bold and glittery steps with radio host Laura Cheadle. Using a combination of best girlfriend discussions and therapy-based exercises, listeners are taught how to build their dreams and live their sparkle. Flaunt. Find your fetish, laugh out loud, accept unconditionally, navigate the negative, and trust in your truth.
Hello, welcome to Flaunt, Build Your Dreams and Live Your Sparkle. I'm Laura Cheadle, and today I'd like to talk about a topic that for many of us is not very sparkly. For many of us, it's actually kind of painful or maybe even rage-inducing. What I'd like to talk about is what's going on right now in terms of the Supreme Court nomination and women's voices. As you know, I'm very passionate about women's voices and not only the ability of women to use their voices, but also other people respecting those voices and encouraging those voices and not making fun of women who use their voices, but actually hearing those voices. So today, our guest is actually a woman from Canada, which I think is going to make this conversation even more interesting, because we can talk about the female anger, the female rage, not only from the U.S. perspective, but also from the Canadian perspective. And she herself has got a fascinating background and an amazing business. So I am just going to introduce her, and I'm going to let her tell you a bit about herself. So welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Laura. It's a pleasure.
Good. Why don't you just launch into an introduction of you, yourself, where you're at, so the listeners kind of know who you are and your voice in this conversation.
Oh, amazing. So I'm hailing from Ontario, Canada, specifically Amherst View, which is a little small suburb in Ontario. And I'm a co-parenting strategist. So I coach parents who are dissolving their family into creating a cohesive co-parenting plan that is centered on the child. So my goal is to wade through some of the conflict and hostility that both sides may have towards each other to get the waters a little bit smooth, so a little more ripply as opposed to huge waves, and really focus on the child so that they grow up in a healthy, well-established, and well-adjusted relationship with both parents.
Wonderful. So you definitely deal with people's voices, both.
Absolutely. And yes. Voices do need to be, they need to be heard, not just listened to, but we really do need to hear what each other are saying.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's kind of the microcosm of what is happening in our world today.
It's so sad.
It's really sad. I know everybody has different political persuasions, and I just want to preface this show by saying in no way, shape, or form am I trying to create a political dialogue. I am trying to create a human dialogue. That there is a woman out there, there's actually 3 women, but you know, Dr. Ford initially is the woman who is coming out, and she is using her voice and she is communicating, but I'm not sure if she is being heard.
I would agree.
Yeah. And that is what I think is creating rage, absolute rage with a lot of women. And I know here in the US, there's quite a lot of commentary about that and around the fact that she's not being heard. What is it like in Canada? How is that being portrayed up there?
I've been following it on social media, and I have been tuning in to some of the TV, the CNNs, and what have you that's airing it, because it's interesting for us. You're our neighbors.
Yes.
You are our neighbors. So, you know, I frequent the U.S. on a regular basis, and some of it is taking a gauge as to what the feeling or what the vibe is going to be like if we were to trickle on down and travel and spend some time in our counterpart. And what I'm seeing is it's earth shattering. at this moment in time, that we are supposed to be so far ahead as a culture, as a community, and awareness. And it just feels like we have gone so far back in such a short amount of time. I actually just had the conversation with a gentleman here today. He was in to give me a quote on moving. He said it really feels like the people of the 50s and the 60s almost have had it even a little bit better. So at least they didn't know. But now we know, and we're now bringing ourselves right back to that same mentality and the same thought. And it's heartbreaking. It's just heartbreaking.
Yes, it absolutely is. I like that perspective, that it was better because we didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Because,
yeah, you're right. Women have been integrated as full-fledged citizens. We are not property anymore. We can
absolutely
vote. We can hold jobs. We're still not getting paid equally, but we are full-fledged citizens now. So to suddenly not be heard, you're right, it is twice as devastating.
Well, and I don't even know if it's not even being heard. It's that somebody has taken the courage to come forward and give their story, and she's being flippantly dismissed.
Yes.
Not only am I acknowledging that there's something coming out of your mouth, but I'm dismissing it, that you're not worthy to speak that truth. So let's move on and carry on. And up here, looking at the social media commentary that's coming through, we've had different ones. The two of them really struck home with me. So one was in relations to the Catholic Church, and that boys who are now men are coming forward 30 years later and their stories aren't questioned. But a woman comes forward 30 years later and her story is questioned and she's a liar. So how is that? Where's the equality in that? It's either both should be thoroughly investigated and have the truth come out, or both should be taken on their merits and then delve in further to see kind of what's sifting through the underlying part. But it truly was a message that men can speak their truth at any given point in time, and the truth is the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And can come forward and speak her truth, and she's just trying to interrupt the boys' world or the boys' club. So I thought that was, it was pretty profound at the impact that that has. And the other one that I saw was, it was a little girl. It was a mom and a dad chatting in the kitchen. And, you know, dad is arguing for one point and mom is arguing for the other point. And the message that this little girl took away was, well, if that happens to me, she has no place to talk to. So she's being dismissed before something even potentially happens in her world, being taught subliminally that her message is not important because she's a girl. Really sad.
It is. And, you know, a gentleman came forward. I'm losing his name, but he said he was friends with Kavanaugh and he witnessed some behavior at parties. And the anger that I felt that a man would come forward and potentially be heard over a woman was infuriating. And it's not that I was mad that he was supporting her, but it was the fact that he can say he saw Kavanaugh throw a beer in somebody's face and everybody would say, oh my gosh, you're kidding. And she can say, no, my body was attacked, my emotions, my fear. And people say, well, get over it. So I hear you.
So true.
Yeah. Now, as a woman, it just makes me so angry. And one of the things that I have been talking to several people about is, what do we do with that anger? What is the constructive use of that anger? And I know with the work that you do, dissolution of marriage, there's a lot of anger on both sides, and there's a lot of passion. And, you know, again, the microcosm, what happens at home and what happens in the world. Whether it's our own marriage that we've got anger surrounding, whether it's the world that we've got this anger, what do we do with that anger?
I think it's okay for the moment to be angry. I think it's okay to sit in that, not for a lifetime and not forever, but I think we do need to acknowledge the fact that we are hurt and at the moment possibly beyond repair. It feels like you're never going to get to the other side. There is no rainbow for you, let alone the pot of gold at the other end of it. Mm-hmm. I do believe that we need to give each other permission to just be angry and to sit in that for just a moment. So I think if we can sit in the anger and acknowledge it, we can then turn it into something more powerful to then create change as we go out. But to dismiss it, I think, would just let the women and men, some of the men know as well, that the anger is not worthy. It's not a worthy emotion. And by dismissing that, we again are dismissing Dr. Ford and the power that she's had to come forward. So I do think it's okay to just sit and simmer momentarily.
I agree. And I have always liked the distinction between righteous anger and anger. Mm-hmm. Because this is righteous anger. We have a reason to be angry. And righteous anger incites action and passion and belief and change. And I think there is a large difference between that kind of anger and I stubbed my toe and I'm mad. There's a lot of traffic and I'm mad. That is not, that's juvenile anger. That is toddler temper tantrum anger. And that is not constructive. But having righteous anger, you're absolutely right. Feel it. Allow it to create. Allow it to move through you. Allow it to empower you. And I think that is very, very worthwhile to feel that anger.
It is. And I think realistically, there are some men and some women who are sitting listening to what's going on who have had that experience, mm-hmm. who've not had the courage to stand up and to have their voice be heard, and in all likelihood are probably less likely to step forward seeing the backlash that's coming through it. So they have anger on a few different levels. And I think they really do need to sit and sort of delve through those layers, layers of hurt and layers of anger. And know that in the end, there is power in the voice. There is power in the truth. It may create some hurt as we step forward, but that hurt eventually is going to create some sort of peace and harmony.
Mm-hmm. And I like that you brought up men and women too, because children oftentimes are not heard. They are dismissed. Mm-hmm. And plenty of boy children have had the same experience, whether it was in, you know, their teenage years or early childhood, of telling a story and having a parent say, no, that didn't happen, or that's not true, or get over it. And, you know, that's part of they talk about the boy crisis now, is we're expecting boys to handle so much more because you're a man. Don't be a sissy.
Yes, that's true. And they're not allowed to be in their emotion. They're allowed to be angry and they're allowed to be mean angry. And for a boy, that's okay. And really, what are we teaching them? Like, it's not okay. And for boys, it's healthy and natural and purely okay to be sad, to let your heart cry, especially with what's going on in the world right now, like to have compassion for other people. And some of the stuff that we're seeing, like your heart just aches and breaks for another human being. And those tears are therapeutic and they should be allowed to flow in both our boys and both our girls. Our girls don't need to toughen up and suck it up, princess, let it go. And our don't just need to be the man of the household. They need to be that soft, sensitive, caring person who's going to, at some point, help create life, nurture, and grow life. So we do need to influence them at a young age.
Absolutely. Because looking at this situation with Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford, Kavanaugh himself is a wounded child. And I don't agree with what's going on politically, but I also have compassion for him. Because what kind of a human throws a beer in somebody's face, and what kind of a human pushes a woman down on a bed and tries to take her clothes off and puts his hand over her mouth? There, we need to have a lot of compassion for him too. It's not that he is the devil and he did this horrible thing to her. clearly he was wounded somewhere along the way as well, or he would have not acted that way.
No, he was taught that that was an okay behavior. And there's a few posts that keep coming through. And I mean, one is if you look back to Brock Turner, so, you know, the Brock Turners of the world are going to grow up to be the Kavanaughs of the world, creating the rules for the future Turners, which really is not the place that we want to be in. Mm-mm. Another one had a really long speech, I guess, that Kavanaugh could have made. And it basically went along the lines of is he could have apologized. He may have no recollection of the incident at hand to give him credit. I mean, I've been in university. I've been in those states where more than one person has had more than one too many drink, does not excuse the behavior and does not give it the right to be allowed. Today, we know better than when I did when I was in university, I would hope. Mm-hmm. As boys that I went to school with, they're now respectable men. But he quite simply could have looked at her and said, I'm really sorry and I don't recall. I did some unthinkable things when I was in university, and the man I am today is not the boy I was then.
Yes.
I come forth and I'm elected or granted this position. What I can vow to you is that I will make those accountable. I will hold the rules for all, regardless of race, color, and I will help make it a better place for our daughters and for the women like you who have had the courage to come forward. And I think had he done that, the world would be looking at this in a totally different perspective. Like Dr. Ford would have been given great credit for being able to come forward, and the credit that he would be receiving to acknowledge and accept her and to take responsibility for making change in our world, oh my goodness, like the conversation today would just be 10 times better.
Absolutely. Oh, I couldn't agree more, because one of the things that we hear as a defense is he was a young kid. If everybody is held to the standards, you know, that if they're held accountable for the stupid things they did, nobody could get ahead. In a way, there's some truth to that. Everybody does do stupid things. But you're absolutely right. It's how do we deal with it? And mm-hmm. how do we acknowledge, yeah, I did that. And I didn't know better. And now I do. And yeah, that's powerful.
He even had the opportunity to say that I don't recall. Like, I don't recall doing that to you. And if that was the person I am truly sorry. So it's not even that he had to own up or man up to what is being stated of him. But he quite simply may not recall. And I've seen boys in that state. And it is very plausible that he has no recollection of what he did, or his recollection of the events are very different than her recollection mm-hmm. of the events. So it could have been handled much differently and still in his favor, save face. He would have saved some grace on that end. But the acknowledgement that the opportunity he had to acknowledge women in that stage front would have propelled him further.
Yes. Yes. I actually just last Saturday saw a Facebook post from a high school friend, and it was long, but oh, it just was so impactful. And he said, I grew up in the 80s, and I just have to say, we ran as packs of boys, and we high-fived and supported each other in our conquest of women. And I am horrified and embarrassed by the behaviors and the attitude that we all had. And he said, I just want to put it out there for everybody. While I know I did not rape anybody, I also know I was not respectful, I was not kind, and I did not treat a lot of you as humans. And I just want to say now, I am deeply sorry. I am deeply sorry for scars, for pain, for anything that I caused. And I'm not blaming my culture, but I know we did it because we all ran together and we all supported each other in that behavior. And at the time I saw that, I mean, he had something like 200 comments, you know, from women saying, thank you. No, you didn't do anything to me. No, I didn't feel that way. But yes, I grew up in that era too. And thank you for acknowledging that.
That's huge.
Huge.
And we need more men to step forward and to give the power back to the women, because the power really has been taken away from us. Mm-hmm. Our chattel. We are a toy to be used with or thrown away when we no longer fit the bill anymore. You hear that more often than not. You know, if a wife puts on 20 pounds or wrinkles in the corners of her eyes, she can be traded in for a newer model, which is a whole other gamut of that we've run ourselves into. And then you pile this on top of the low self-esteem, the bottom of the totem pole, like all of the places that we feel that we are right now. And it just really, it essentially pushes you 9 feet under into your grave. Like you're not even just the bottom of the totem pole anymore. You're just worthy of lying dead and being buried over because we're not even being heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're absolutely right there. Earlier you talked about just the worthiness and this is, it's, you're not even worthy enough to have a voice. And not then when you use it, you're made fun of and you're laughed at and questioned. Why didn't you come forward earlier? Why didn't you do this? Why aren't you younger, prettier? It's mm-hmm. everything. It really is everything. And, you know, again, people say, get over it, grow up, blah, 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 blah. When you are the oppressed person, it's not that you can't. But you're right, when so many things are stacked against you, it's so much harder. And being on top, you can't see it, if that makes sense.
It does. And I would almost argue that in order for her to have the strength to come forward, she has gotten over it. She has dealt with it to a certain degree, or else she would not have been able to put herself forward she's in the media worldwide.
Yes.
Had she not dealt with and resolved the issues of her past, she would not have had, pardon the language, she would not have had the balls to come forward.
True.
She just wouldn't. And God forbid, what if she wasn't a doctor?
Absolutely.
How would she be portrayed if she was the bartender from the days back then, mm-hmm. or just a housewife? And I know that a housewife is more than just a housewife. And the work that they do is beyond. The list never ends. But in the eyes of the world, what would it be like if that's how they viewed her? Like she has credential and credibility. She has education. She doesn't need to be doing this at all.
Uh-huh. I thought that too. I thought how many women out there have also had a negative experience with him, but because they don't have the education and the credentials, they're not coming forward because they know they will be torn apart. Oh.
Eaten alive.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we talked earlier about that it's not just women's voices. It can be men's voices, too. It can be a culture's voice. It can be a race's voice. It's there's so much in the media, whether it's the white police officer shooting the African-American man, whether it's we have a difficult time in our world listening equally to voices.
Well, I think from the Canadian perspective, when we're looking down on what's going on, if you are not upper class, white, male, you're just not worthy.
Yes.
And that is not what you guys are about. Like it really is not. You see, you watch the Martin Luther King, like that is not what your country is about. Mm-hmm. And now that is what you're being cast as.
Mm-hmm. It's embarrassing.
Oh, it has to be.
It's very embarrassing.
It's a reality show that has gone off rails.
Yes.
How we look at it. When we watched the candidacy, all of the debates, he really did think that he was in a reality show.
Yes.
And we all kind of thought there's no way on earth. Like there's no way on earth you guys will see through this. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, it's reality TV every day, day in and day out. And we're just waiting for somebody to come along and say, Trump, you're fired. And
right.
Then reality show. And it just keeps getting worse and worse. I mean, the ratings are through the roof.
Right. Oh, they are. Everybody's watching. Yeah, I was in Paris last summer, and then Italy around the time of the elections. And I cannot tell you the numbers of people that would come up and be like, are you American? Are you that kind of American? Are you a real American? It's like, well, this is not my idea of what our country is about. So they'd be like, oh, good. What are you all thinking? And it was like,
yeah,
I can't tell you. I don't know what anybody is thinking.
Because no. Yeah. And I have no political affiliation clearly with anybody down in the States. But when you just see the positive environment that was left behind from the Obamas, and you now see the negative culture that is being focused on, it's a world of difference.
Yes.
And I don't think that it's, the negativity has always been there.
Yes.
Always been there, and it's been always underlying. But the focus has always been to move forward in a more positive light, where now the focus is let's really dig in and focus on that negativity. Let's see what really irks you and gets you. And let's rile everybody up, but not for the good of our, not for the good of our country, and not for the good of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Saddening.
Yeah. Well, even just the hearing, I forget the exact numbers, but it was predominantly white males who were mm-hmm. hearing her testimony. And I thought, that's terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying, because if you look at the numbers of women, people of different colors, races, whatever, that is not a representative sample of the U.S. A melting pot, and she should be up there testifying in front of women and people from different cultures and people of different skin tones and people of different descents. And wow, having a group of white men choose whether or not her words are worthy of being listened to.
And it's not just white men, it's white privileged men.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
Mm-hmm. It's not your average Joe next door who's sitting there listening to her words.
Mm-mm. No.
Not at all.
No. No, 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 no. And it's not even to me whether she is right or wrong, whether she is lying or telling the truth. Can we at least pretend that we're listening to her? Can we at least give her the dignity of pretending? Why
yeah.
we are so blatantly saying you are unworthy? That's what bothers me so much.
I would agree. I fully agree with you on that one. There's been no acknowledgement of the strength to come forward. There has been some. There's been a few who have acknowledged the strength and the courage for coming through. Most have been women. I have seen a couple of men who have stated that she has been courageous to come forward. So there are some men who are sitting there trying to make a difference and trying to steer that boat into a different direction. And that has to be extremely hard for them
yeah.
to go back to that backroom banter with the boys when they're the ones who are cheerleading for the woman out front, who, God bless, is trying to take one of us down. And it's not that I think she's trying to take one of them down. I think she's just trying to make a point that we're appointing somebody who is going to be the adjudicator.
Hmm.
He's a law upholder. And I just want you to know that this is the background that he's come from. Can we have some acknowledgement as to how that's going to benefit us? What did he learn? How can we grow from it? Or if that's still the person that he is today, is that really who you want ruling over the land? Like, I don't think so. It's hard.
Yeah. And I don't tend to, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. People say it's political. I don't tend to think it's political. I don't think it matters what his political affiliation is or whether he were appointed by Obama or Trump. He is a human who did a bad thing, and nobody is going to sit back and just say, yeah, he did this to me, but he's my political party, so have at it. I don't mm-hmm. think that's where the motivation is coming from. I think you're right on. She is bringing information to light and letting people know who this man is. I don't think it's politically driven.
I don't think it's politically driven either. That's not the impression I get. She has nothing to gain from bringing him down. I think for all purposes, she's self-sufficient.
Oh, yes. So
she's after the $1 million pot to make her life better. I don't believe that's the ulterior goal. I think her goal truly is just making the world a better place for all people to live in, especially women. Mm-hmm. That we do have a place of coming forward and speaking up and not being treated like a piece of garbage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Which brings me right back to the rage thing. We've simmered in it. We're still simmering.
Yeah.
Things keep coming up. What's next?
I think what's next is having the ability to have some heated conversations with our counterparts, letting them know how this makes us feel on the inside. And my hope is that they'll take it back to their group that they socialize with. So, for example, in my marriage, my husband is older, and I find that he's just old enough to have that generational gap. So he grew up in the 70s. I grew up in the 80s, so I totally get the whole running with the pack with the boys with that reference. I fully get what he's saying. But knowing his train of thought and my train of thought, I think this allows us to bridge that gap, to have hard conversations and sensitive conversations. And my hope is that this will allow him to go back into the locker room banter and say, boys, that's not okay. That could be my daughter you're talking about. That could be my wife you're referring to. And I'm not okay with that. And I think then change will slowly start to ripple through. And it will probably ripple through the lower to the middle class first. I think they're the ones who are going to hear it and take it more to heed, because they recognize that this really could be their daughter. Like, this really could have been my wife. I'm going to say those with more privilege may not see it as an immediate threat to themselves. They're better equipped. They're better educated. Whereas it's the little one on the totem pole who is not being heard to and listened to. Mm. Has a degree, she's been knocked down a few pegs. That's my hope, is that the anger will still let it simmer and brew, but it will give us the courage to then speak to our men, so that our men have the courage to go out to the other boys in the club and say, it's not cool. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be out.
Mm-hmm. My hope with that also is that it creates a more unified sisterhood between.
Yes.
Yes. Because even though Dr. Ford has been not listened to, I want my anger to embolden me to come forward and to support her and to support other women and to lend my voice, you know, for the times maybe I have witnessed something, or to just lend my support in that, you're right, you probably won't be listened to, but you know what? Get out there and do it anyway, because all we have is each other. And we've got that good old boys network, and it's time we've got the good old girls network too.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think she does give us the courage to stand up and to stand up firm. If you watch both of them, he's the one who's wavering. His emotions are like a roller coaster, up, down, sideways, and every other way. And she's standing firm. And I think it's because she's standing firm in her truth, because she knows it's true. Mm-hmm. She's really convicted in how she feels and how she was treated. And to take just a little bit of that from her, that courage, and plant that inside of each and every one of us, the power that we can do when we unite and stand firm together, earth-shattering.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I don't know about you or about any of the listeners, but I know as a woman, I still have it conditioned in me that I have to be polite and I have to be liked and I have to be conciliatory and I have to do all of this stuff, or I am not womanly or feminine. And I love seeing people like her who are firm and are standing in their truth and can be polite and can be feminine. And you know what? I like her.
Absolutely.
And I can be strong and be liked, because it's about us. It's not about good girls, compliant, being seen, not heard. I like that.
I fully like that. And I love that she is educated. So this doesn't happen to uneducated women. I think all of us, whether we have a degree or a title, we all have an educational background behind us. And it's nice to know that it isn't just the good little girls who get slapped on the butt and are told to go on the merry old way. She does come with a great education and a great career behind her, and hopefully ahead of her after all of this as well, that regardless of the status that you hold in your community or what you believe is your status in the world, it can happen to you.
Yes.
And worthy enough to stand in your truth and to hold that space.
Yes. Yes, because if somebody assaults the maid, it's equally as bad as if somebody assaults the physician. The woman's status, level of education, none of that matters. What matters is she is a human and she is worthy of respect and dignity and of not being assaulted.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And not that women don't support each other. I think we do support each other. I think there are more network opportunities available for women to come together now, but I feel like we even need to take that one step further and to quit judging each other's choices and quit judging each other's bodies and to quit, and we're moving out of that. But I still think there's some of that there for us women to take a hard look at ourselves and say, how can I support my fellow sisters? How can I encourage my daughters? How can I make it a better world for all of us and still not get trapped in that male gaze, for lack of a better word, that women need to be this way, and if we're not, we can criticize each other.
And I think we're also really quick at offering up excuses. So what was she wearing on that night? How many drinks did she had? You know, she's responsible as well. If she had a couple of too many drinks, she should be better. So I think we're still very quick to judge that because it would never happen to me because I wouldn't put myself in that situation. Had she not have done that, she wouldn't have been there. So it's almost like part of it is still her fault.
Yes.
And it's not. There's a thing going around. It's what's the biggest cause of rape? Rapist. It's not the excessive alcohol. It's not the short it's not too many drinks. It's the ones who violate you in a manner that you are not entitled to be violated in. Pure and simple, cut and dried. And it does happen to both men and women. I will acknowledge that. Neither one has the right to be touched in any manner. No is no.
Yes.
One drink or 10. No is no.
Right, right. Or even if you are not capable of saying no, that's no too. If you're passed out, we do not assume compliance.
I don't even know. I don't even know how you can figure out that they've complied with something when they don't have the ability to utter a word. Like, seriously?
Mm-hmm. And you know, that's the other thing too. If people are saying, Kavanaugh was just a young kid, give him a break, blah, 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 blah. She was drinking too. Hey, she was a young kid too. Give her a break.
Yep.
The breaks either go both ways or they go no ways.
Yep. And he had the opportunity to seize his break.
Yes.
He chose to take the other stand and to stand firm and call her out. Really, he's called her every name in the book without using the names.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, which is just horrific. And you know what? I like that you mention that judgment of what was she wearing. That is such a hot button for me. And it's a hot button for me. It's a trigger for me. I am passionate about women can be sexy or provocative or whatever. It is their right. But you know what? The other day, my husband showed me a picture. And there was a man and a woman in it. And you know what came out of my mouth was, oh my gosh, look at her fake boobs. And he called me out on that. And I was like, oh, you're right. I just said that. And he's like, what was that all about? I mean, that's not you. And I was like, you know, the thing is, I wasn't judging it, but my eyes went to her chest first. I saw that they were clearly fake. He said, you didn't even notice anything in that picture. Well, it disturbed me so bad because no, I didn't. My eyes went to that and that came out of my mouth. Is that horrible?
It is, but it isn't. I think it's horrible had you not been able to acknowledge it and move forward and to take the feedback from your husband. I think we're only human. We are only human. We are not perfect beyond any stretch, nor do we want to be, because I cannot live to those standards at all. Mm-hmm. See someone else, it's not what is she doing to me, it's what has she triggered in me. And I can see that as well. I can look at a picture and think the same thing as like, oh my goodness, like seriously, that's the skirt that she's wearing? Well, if I could afford that chest, well, I could look like that too.
So right.
It's not her. It truly is coming back on me at that moment in time. And we all have low moments.
Like, oh, yeah.
My husband knows when he goes in the bedroom and my clothes are piled high, whatever I walk out with, you better be saying, that looks great.
Exactly.
One of those days where nothing fits the way that it's supposed to fit. We all feel that way. And that's okay. Like, we're human.
Right.
That's okay. And I think that's why we're sometimes quick to judge somebody else based on appearance without knowing what the inside package holds as well. Because there is a little bit, for lack of better words, a little bit of envy and a little bit of jealousy when you see what that picture portrays for you.
Yes. And that was exactly what I told my husband after I got over my initial horror of where that came from. I said, you know what? What that brought up in me is, why are you showing me this picture? And it was like for a movie. It was like the cover of the movie thing.
Yes.
He said, it brought up jealousy in me. Why did you show me that? She's beautiful. Why did you show me that? Why?
Well, yeah.
He's showing me a movie, but you're right. It's my own insecurity going in that he wants to watch this movie because she's beautiful. And he said, did you not notice there was a gorgeous man next to her? And it was like, oh, no, I was too busy being defensive and jealous and concerned for myself.
Fight or flight, right? You're ready at that moment to fight for your marriage, for everything that it was worth to you, because God forbid somebody else may pose that threat, being real or unreal at that moment. Oh, I get that.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, we all have those moments. I've had those moments too, where my closet floor is piled with everything that I own and I still hate the way I look.
And I think women need to be able to acknowledge each other for that, that even somebody who's a size 0, size 2, size 22, we all have those days where we don't like our body. Mm-hmm. We have those days where we're mad at the world and nothing fits, nothing. Your hair doesn't go right. Your makeup doesn't go on right. Like nothing goes your way. And then you just need one innocent comment from a bystander and we are derailed to a whole different level. And the anger that sits in us all of a sudden comes out in the unconstructive way without good purpose. So I think that does sit there. And that's okay. Like we're entitled to have that every once in a while. We're human. Mm-hmm. We're human. But overall, the right for a woman to her opinion, to stand in her strength, and the glory that she has in those moments, it's just awe-inspiring.
Yes, it is. And I saw along those same lines, a cartoon with Kavanaugh. It was like one of those little Facebook pictures, and it had clips of his face in these horribly contorted positions as he was, you know, yelling and defending himself. And underneath it, it was words that had been said about women. How can you get so emotional? It's only a job interview. Do you need to take a few minutes and go to the bathroom and put on lip gloss and touch up your makeup? It was just like all of these horrible things that people say about women being used towards him. And to me, that juxtaposition between we still are viewed for our looks and we still pile the clothes on the floor and can't get our makeup on and can't get our hair to curl. And we internalize that and take it all in. And it's still okay culturally to continue to poke at that. Yet we would never say that to a man. We would never ask him if he's feeling hormonal. We never would.
No, not at all. No, if roles had been reversed and she was reacting the way that he was, It had been over a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely. She would have lost all credibility in the moment. So, So that's one of those things that I hope our collective rage can also bring to light and just help us to see we are part of the problem in certain ways too. And how can we transcend that? And how can we support? And how can we see where we are being unfair to ourselves and to our daughters and to our sisters as well?
I think part of it is we need to check ourselves, especially when it comes to the raising of children. It's still okay for boys to poke at you. You know, if a girl goes home after school and a boy has picked at her all day long, well, it's just because he likes you.
Huh.
That's not acceptable on any realm, whether you're 5 or whether you're 50. That's not good. But if we're teaching them at 50 that it's okay to poke and prod at girls because that's how you show you like them, then why are we surprised at the age of 18 and 19 that boys are poking and prodding at girls with expecting no repercussions? That's only what we've taught them. And our girls, we're teaching them, you know, well, if he flicks your bra strap, it's just because he likes you.
Mm-hmm.
He pick at you on the playground, it's just because he likes you. And then at 18 and 19, when someone is flicking her bra strap and throwing her down and pawing at her, we wonder why she's not stepping forward. She's been told all along that that's how boys show me they like me. So now that I'm in this situation, how dare I step forward and say anything? Because clearly he just likes me. And that's not the truth of the matter.
No, that is not the truth of the matter at all. But that's a good point. We have been conditioned for far too long to think that that's okay.
Yeah, it's totally acceptable and it's totally okay.
Yeah,
and it's not. And it really does need to start at a young age and rolling it up through. And the generations to come, I believe, will be better and stronger. I think the men coming up the ranks at this stage will have a deeper compassion for women, especially the women of today. Not only do they hold your home front down, not only do they bear your children and raise your children, but God bless, now we go out and hold down a full-time job and still orchestrate everything else on the back side of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think a deepened respect will start to come through it as the men that are growing up have witnessed the sacrifices that their mothers have made.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now transferring this global thing kind of back down to the family, to the microcosm of that, I've done some divorce law work. You're in this whole, you know, divorce arena. There is great anger at the onset. There's a lot of feelings of failure, of frustration, blah, 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 blah. Bam, you help people channel that anger, channel that frustration into a constructive outcome.
Yes.
Do you feel like you have a sense of understanding how that anger is channeled and how that beautiful outcome is really created that elevates the child, that elevates the ex-wife, that elevates the ex-husband? Do you feel like you understand that flow a little bit?
I do think I understand the flow, and I think, sadly, I understand the flow because I've lived the flow. I've drowned in the waves. I've treaded water for a little bit. I've asked for a life raft, all of it. I've asked for it, I've needed it, and we've been in the thick of it. So I can see it from two perspectives. And my ex-husband came to my home last weekend for a birthday party for my grandson. It's only taken 19 years to get to that level of respect for each other. And it was in that moment and during that day that it really solidified how the anger can be dispelled, it can be dispersed, and we really can get along as two fellow human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Him like a neighbor coming into our home. So we were neighborly to him coming in, one, because I wanted to be. More importantly, it's my daughter's father. She only has one. I chose him. And without him, I would not have her.
Mm-hmm.
Although I choose not to live with him and not to be married to him, He is an integral part of my world and an integral part of my life. And my children are the greatest blessings that have ever been brought forth on this earth. And I do have him to thank for that. Even despite all of the stuff that has gone on, and you name it, we've been through it. So I've had the restraining orders. I've been under police watch. My children have been taken. They've been listed as missing children. You name it, we've been through it. And I can tell you that it is possible to ride the wave out to the other side.
Mm-hmm.
It used to take 19 years. I am confident it does not need to take 19 years. And what I learned from my ex-husband was, I'm going to say it was mind-blowing. So as we were standing there having a normal conversation, which was fantastic, he apologized. He actually apologized for the hurt and the anguish. He did say that that was not his intention. He was riding out his wave of emotions, not knowing what to do with them. He was hurt. He felt betrayed. And then it came, like, it's just smacked me upside the head. The biggest factor for him, when I was able to move on to a new relationship, he felt that he needed to be better than what my life was. So that, he said, is what fueled his fire and fueled his anger. That if I was able to move on and I was having a really good, strong relationship and a smooth relationship, that he needed to put all of the pokers into the fire and prove that he was more worthy and he was better than. So he said that's what fueled his fire. And he regrets it now. And after those words, he actually went upstairs and apologized to my husband.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've seen the wave on both sides. And I think what people don't understand, and I do understand that now, whoever has chosen to leave is better prepared.
Yes.
So my mindset was 2 years ahead of where my ex-husband's mindset was, but I expected him to be on the same page that I was. And I had already dealt with my emotions of anger, my sadness, my hurt. I had put those to bed when I was just awakening those up in him.
Mm-hmm.
So fair of me to have the same expectation of him at that point in time. He needed to have an opportunity to grieve what he was losing. And I didn't give that to him in a proper manner.
Makes absolute sense. And yeah. You know, moving that out, think about what's going on politically with Dr. Ford and Kavanaugh. They have each dealt with this in different ways. He mm-hmm. may not have known this was traumatic for her, whether or not he remembers it. I doubt he knew what she was going through.
Especially for all those years, not knowing for all those years and having that served to you on a silver platter.
Yes.
And he, on day one, let's say hypothetically day one, he doesn't deal with it well, which we know he didn't.
No.
On day two, he could have come back and said, I really apologize for how I handled that yesterday. I was aware that this is what I did. I was not aware that this is how you felt. But when I went home last night and I had the conversation with my wife, I was able to see things from your perspective.
Right.
I was able to see things from a different viewpoint. And today I want to apologize for not treating you in a proper manner yesterday.
Right.
Hoping that we can build and move forward on this.
Mm-hmm.
To working with you so that we can be better as a community, as a society. He still could have handled himself really well in that incident.
Right. And you know, we talked about ourselves having the grace and space to make mistakes and to realize, ooh, I was triggered on that. Even for him to be able to come out and say, this is bringing up a lot in me and I don't know how to handle this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Know that I am sorry, know that I am angry, that I am disappointed, that I'm scared, that I'm whatever. I know you must be feeling things too. I am not dealing with this well. Even something like that.
Yeah.
Let that anger, let that passion fuel everybody for good. Let it move us all to a higher level.
And I think it's not too late for him to have those words.
I agree.
And it's never too late to have that conversation.
No. And like you said, for in your incident, in your, you know, incidents, it takes, took 19 years. Did it have to? Mm-hmm. Nope. But you know what? It did. And that's fine too, because you came to that resolution now. And that's my hope for all of us right now, whether we're having unconstructive dialogues with people, we're having dialogues, whether it's triggering us or triggering them, let it trigger and let's bring it all out. And if it takes 19 years, I'm sad about that. But you know what? I like the analogy of riding the wave to the other side. The wave's upon us. We can drown in it or we can ride it out. So let's ride it out and hopefully it won't take us 19 years.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, Sherry, before we close out, would you please give your contact information in case anybody wants to reach out to you, you know, for their own personal situation?
For sure. The best way to reach me typically is by email. My office phone is on silent, so if I'm meeting with somebody, it is in silence, respectfully of the person who's sitting before me. So it's respireandevolve@outlook.com is my email. My phone is 613-634-7667, and there is an answering machine attached to that. But emails are beautiful. I can answer them at any point in the day. So once the office is closed, I will often spend my evening answering emails back so that everyone is listened to and heard respectfully.
Ha ha, I like that. Well, thank you so much and thank you for being here. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners to, like we talked about, feel that anger, feel it, let it simmer, but let it move you to do something constructive. And not necessarily to fight against, but to also work within yourselves to heal your trauma, to support other people, to be there and to create. We can do as above, so below, as within, so without. We can heal it, but only if we also do it within our lives, then it will heal on the national and international level. So
absolutely.
Yes. So you guys all have a great week. Sherry, thank you again so much for being here. And as usual, listeners, don't forget to flaunt.
Tune in next time to Flaunt. Build your dreams, live your sparkle with radio host Laura Cheadle every Wednesday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Come release outdated labels, roles, and scripts. Reveal the calling of your soul and re-choreograph your own life, even when you're unsure of what you want. In 5 bold and glittering strokes, you too can build your dreams and live your sparkle. Find out more about Laura at pyramidfusion.com.